I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in Proverbs chapter 1. First chapter of the book of Proverbs, commencing to read at the verse number 20. Indeed, we have known the leading and the guiding of the Lord, as we have our brethren and our sisters have been ministering to us in song. They have been singing to you about God's final call. And God laid upon my heart tonight to speak upon three calls that are found in the Word of God. One call is a call that is never in vain. The second call is a call that's often in vain. The final call is a call that's always in vain. And we were listening to the words of our brethren and sisters as they were singing, indeed. That's just exactly what we want to speak about as God gives us help this evening. I want us to read first of all in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse. In the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and he refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as destruction or desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And then one final verse in the book of Romans chapter 10. And it is the verse number 13. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. I want to speak this evening upon the three calls that are found here in God's Word that we have read tonight. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Thank God, there's the repentant call. It is the call of the soul to God for salvation. And glory to God when that call is made. It is a call that is never, never in vain. When we come to the book of Proverbs chapter 1, in the verse number 24, it says, I have called. This is God speaking. And God says, because I have called, and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded.
Ye have said of naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. And there we see a call, my friend. It is the Savior's call. He said, I have called, but ye refuse. He said, I have stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. And there we see a call, my friend, that sadly, in a gospel mission, and in the preaching of the word of the living God, that's often refused. Because God calls, but men and women not only accept and receive the call of the gospel and faith, and respond to that call and reach out in salvation, but sad to say, there are those that reject the Son of God and despise His reproof, and they reject His counsel, that cries out to the sinner, flee, flee from the wrath which is to come. But man will not flee. He calls, come, but man will not come. He said, I have called, but he said, ye have refused. A call that is often in vain. But oh, my friend, of that a solemn, listen to the words of the Word of God, where it says in verse 28, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. Here's the rejector's call. The man that one day wants to cry out, but the ear of God is closed. Man sees his end. It's lost for all eternity. But the door of mercy is shut to that soul. I want to tell you, friend, there's a call that is always in vain. God says, then they shall call. But God says, I'm not answering. You know, gospel meetings, friend, are not a plaything. Gospel meetings are some of the most precious meeting that a soul could ever come into. Men and women stand at a crossroads in a gospel mission. We're standing at a roundabout, friend, and there are directions in every way. And friend, let me tell you, when you come to it, you've got to take the right direction. And if you want to go to Belfast, you go that way. And if you want to go to Macrofelt, you go that way. And if you want to go to Londonderry, you go that way. And if you want to go to Castle Dawson, you go that way. But if you miss the way, if you take the wrong way, if you will not listen to the counsel, if you do your own thing, God says these words, there'll come a day that you'll want to call. There'll come a day that you'll cry out and you'll call. And God says, I will not answer. Friend, the ear of God to shut. And you've fooled away your day of grace. And you've played the fool with your most precious possession, your immortal soul. And God condemns you to hell. And there's no way back. You've sinned away your day of grace. Let's look at these calls tonight as God gives us help. Let's think of the first one. Thank God it thrills her soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God it takes you in, friend. Thank God it takes you in, whosoever. I'm glad it didn't say in Romans chapter 10, if William McCrae calls in the name of the Lord, he'll be saved. And I'll tell you why. Because, friend, that's not your name and there would be no hope for you. I'm glad it didn't say, Allison, that if she calls for my friend, my name's not Allison, there'd be no hope for me. But blessed be God. in the sovereign mercy and grace of a sovereign God. God reaches out to men and women like you and me. And God puts his arms around us. And God includes us. And he says, for whosoever. For thank God that includes you and it includes me. Whosoever. Whoever you are. Whoever you are, from whatever place you've come. Whatever your background. Whatever your circumstances, whoever you are. Thank God that verse reaches into the Shankill Road. But it reaches into the falls just the same. That verse, my friend, it reaches up to Macrofelt. But glory to God that reaches in to Londonderry. Thank God it reaches out of this wee province of ours. Thank God it spans the miles of the oceans and reaches into the soul in Australia. It says, for whosoever shall call. You know, the devil's a liar, friend. The devil has only one purpose for your soul, and that's to damn you. The devil is lost and will be forever lost. He's consigned to the damned, friend. But let me tell you, the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. And the devil wants to destroy your soul. He doesn't love you. Oh, he let you play with the playthings and the pleasure houses of the world. He'll give you your toys to tinker with. But the devil will damn you. The pleasures of the world, they're but for a season. And he has only one purpose in his heart. The same purpose as he had whenever he came as a serpent to Eve in the garden. And he said to her, you know, Eve, are you sure God has said that? That you shouldn't eat of that tree? And he put a question over her mind. And maybe there's someone sitting in this meeting tonight and there's a question in your heart. You question, but does God really mean you? I think of men and women that have been down in the gutters of sin. I remember old Johnny McQuaid. Old Johnny was a decent man from the Shankill Road. He was a member of Parliament for North Belfast. Johnny was as decent as they come, as honourable. Hadn't a great education, but a real warrior, and stood as one of the main and chief soldiers in the time of war. But Johnny wasn't saved. I remember I used to go into that home up the Shankill Road or off the Shankill Road, and he used to sit in with Johnny. And you know, he would talk about things, and he loved the wee province, but let me tell you, Johnny was without the Lord, and his heart was hard. And I remember one night Johnny was spoken to about the things of God, and Johnny McQuaid said this. He says, God couldn't love me. He was asked, why did not God love you, Johnny? And he said this, I killed for my king and country. I went to a foreign land. I was dropped behind the enemy lines. And I had to fight my way out. Many a man was killed in those battles. And there's blood on my hands as a soldier in the king's forces in the world war. God couldn't love me. And then one day, Johnny's wife, Sissy, took ill. She took very ill. And Johnny loved that wee woman with all his heart for him. And sent for one of my colleagues. And he asked him, would you come and talk to me? Talk to her. For she's going to eternity and she's not ready. Thank God, my colleague had the joy and privilege of leading that dear wee woman to Jesus Christ. And then God started to work in his heart. Thank God Johnny came. He rested his soul on Jesus. And you know what Johnny McQuaid found out, friend?
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Glory to God! There's men in this meeting tonight, and I want to tell you, you've been down in the gutter. People have laughed at you. And people walked past you. And people said, he's finished. And there's no hope for him. But glory to God, you're sitting in the meeting tonight, and you're saved.
You know why? Because you found out whosoever, glory to God, took you in, shall call upon the name of the Lord. And friend, you called out in your need. You realized your lostness. You realized that you were a sinner, undone, unclean. Let me tell you, friend, there are church-going people, let me tell you, and there's near hell tonight because of the religious belief. They have not trusted Jesus Christ, but they trust in religion. You know that it's easier to talk to the down and out. You don't have to convince the man that's in the gutter that he needs to be changed. He doesn't see it, how he can be changed. But friend, he knows he needs to be changed. But there are others tonight, let me tell you, and you're not down and out, you're up and out. But you're as far from God as the down and out. You're relying upon religion, but not redemption. You're relying upon rituals, but not a relationship, a living, lasting, loving relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. And you're lost. Oh, that God tonight would take the scales from off the sinner's eyes and show them their lost estate. Lost as lost can be, wandering about in the darkness of their sin. The Bible tells me, Jesus tells me, there were two men came up to the temple one day. And one was a Pharisee. And the other was a sinner. And the old Pharisee, he came up and he walked into God's presence in the temple one day. And they looked up and he says, God, I'm glad I'm not like other men are. I'm glad I'm not like that old boy over there. You know, Lord, I'm religious. I pay my tithes to the temple. I actually fast, because they did that. They had their rituals. They fasted. Aye, and they went to the temple and they went through all the religious exercises, friend. And he looked up and he can look over at the old sinner and he said, I'm glad I'm not like him. The Bible tells me there was an old sinner. And he felt the burden of a sin, friend, and he couldn't even look up. He just smote his breast. And this is what he said. He says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he threw himself that day in the mercy of God. What the Bible said? He went down just as if he never had sinned. He went down the road, friend, forgiven, pardoned, redeemed, glory to God, changed by the power of a risen Christ. But the other man didn't. The other man went on his religious way to hell. Now, friend, I didn't tell that story. Jesus did. And Jesus knows the heart of every man. And he knows your heart and mine too. Can I ask you a question? Friend, do you know you're a sinner? Do you? Do you really know that? Do you know that when God breathed the breath into you, that God breathed the breath of life and you became a living soul?
Do you realize that God was the one that formed you, and God's the one that will call you. Do you realize that you've got to meet God someday? I saw the dead, small and great, and they're standing before God.
Do you realize that God has already declared that there's no difference? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Maybe, friend, listen, you might be walking the cleaner side of the road to hell. Maybe you're not down in the gutters as others are. Maybe, friend, listen, you're not as other men are. But God says there's no difference. For God says all have sinned. Now the amount and the number of sins might be different, but the fact of your sin stands before you. You know, the Bible says he that is guilty of one is guilty of all. That's the book. That's the book, friend. And if you have come under this meeting tonight, friend, and you're robed in your self-righteousness, and you say, I'm not as other men are. You see, let me tell you, that salvation business is all right for the gutter. That's all right for the man that's down his nose in the gutter. That's all right for the drunkard. That's all right for the gambler. That's all right for the harlot. That's all right for the whoremonger. That's all right for the murderer. That's all right for the thief. You not see your own heart, friend? You've crucified the Lord of glory. Your sins put Jesus to the cross. Your sins put the Savior to Calvary's cross. That God has given you the breath of life, and yet you're thieving from God and you're living for the devil. You're taking that which God gave you and you're using it against God instead of for Him. You see, man without the Spirit of God, friend, he's blind. He can't see. People say to me, preacher, but preacher can't see it. You know why, friend? Because the book of God says the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine in. See, when the light of the gospel shines in, let me tell you, you'll not argue with God that you're lost. You know you're lost. You'll not argue with God that you're a sinner, friend. You know you're a sinner. And the Word of God says your sin separates between you and God. It drove Adam from the garden, friend. And if your sin's not repented of, it'll drive you into hell itself. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember the story of Peter? The Lord came walking in the water in that night. And whenever Peter realized it was the Lord, you remember what Peter said? He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. And Jesus says, Peter, come, come. I'm the master of the waves. I made them. I can walk on them. Bigger than all of our problems, bigger than all of our fears. God's bigger than any mountain we can or can't see. And the Lord said, Peter, come. And Peter got out of the boat, friend, and he started to come to Jesus Christ. And then he took his eyes of the Lord, and he started to listen to the angry wind. And he started to look down at the dashing waters around his feet. And he took his eyes of Christ and he began to sink. And Peter realized he was going down into the depths and the belly of the water. And he cried out, and this is what he said. He said, Lord, save me. You know what the Bible says? And immediately he stretched forth his hand. Immediately, friend. Oh, haven't we such a God who's ready to pardon tonight? Let me tell you, God's not forced to save me. Glory to God, that's why Jesus came. That's why God sent the Son. That's why he sent him to Calvary. That's why the Savior shed his precious blood. Glory to God tonight. He's passing this way to save you. You don't push God into a corner to save you. He might have to push you into the corner to bring you to the place where you'll confess, Lord. Lord, save me. And immediately he stretched forth his hand, friend. I can see it. And immediately he stretched forth his hand, and Jesus' hand took Peter's. And they walked together back to the boat. It wasn't until they got to the boat, friend, that the wind ceased. You know why? The Lord was proving to Peter, listen, Peter, I'm the master. I'm in control here. Have you called, friend? Be honest. Have you called? Young person, have you called on the Lord to save you? Mama, can I ask you a question? Some of you are past maybe even the 70 years. Have you not called on the Lord to save you? Not see your lostness? Let me tell you, friend, without Jesus, you'll perish. I was only a young fellow. I was just a student. I was Dr. Pace's assistant at the time. And I remember we're holding meetings up in Dungannon. And after the meeting was over, we were another friend and I were driving a car and taking Dr. Paisley home. We did that and we took him to his house. But as we were going up from Dungannon, up the Armour Road, across the Armour Bridge, Annadale Embankment, we noticed that there was a lot of stir, a lot of people were gathered about. You know, have you heard the word curiosity killed the cat? Well, curiosity was killing us to know exactly what was going on, friend. So we couldn't wait until we got Dr. Paisley up, got him through the streets as quick as we could and got him home. Then we turned the car and we came back down the road, came to the Armour Embankment. Stopped on the bridge there. The people had gathered in greater number. And we stepped out and we asked the question, what was wrong? They said there was a young fella, a young university student, had jumped into the water to commit suicide. He had just been given a lovely new jumper by his mum before he left home. And he took it off and he hung it on the railings. And then he got onto the bridge. And he jumped to end it all. He went down into the waters. There, in the lagoon, whenever he went down, he decided he didn't want to drown after all. The young fella came up, and as he came up to the surface, friend, and he started to struggle, he started to cry out, and there were people going past. And he cried out, he said, save me. Please, somebody, save me. And the people were looking around, what could they do? And there was a taxi man was driving past in the way of the taxi down. And they asked the taxi man, had he got anything in his car that could try to get the young fellow? There was a young fellow that was down there. And whenever they were doing this, friend, the young lad went down the second time. Then he came up the second time. And he cried again. Please, somebody save me. Somebody save me. The taxi man had a rope in the back of the car. And they put that rope over that bridge, friend. And they put it over. Let me tell you, it was too short, but the taxi man got over and they held his legs. He tried his best. The young lad came up, or went down the second time, came up the third time. This time his voice was fainter. Friend, he was crying out with all his heart. Somebody save me. Please, save me. But the rope was 1 foot. Too short. Whenever I got to the bridge, friend, they told me the story and they said, there's nobody to row their boat. They're dragging the water. I'd never been in a boat in my life. But I knew there was a young fella there. I didn't know him. I didn't know his background. I didn't know his circumstance, but I knew there was a young fella who was in that water, friend. And they said, please, would somebody come and row the boat? And my friend and I jumped over the railings and we said, listen, we'll do it. I never had an oar in my hand in my life, friend. And we went there and we started to go up and down, and the men started to drag the water. The hour passed, but we couldn't get them. A few days' time, the body of a young university student came to the surface. His soul was gone to eternity. Friends, listen. He cried, "Somebody save me." But the rope was 1 foot too short. Let me tell you, friend, I'm going to be straight to you. You're a sinner before God, and your sin will separate you from God, and you need delivered from your sin. The power of your sin's too mighty for you. The pollution of your sin is too deep. The plague of your sin, my friend, has too big a grip. And you'll never break it. The church can't save you. Your baptisms can't save you. Your confirmations cannot save you. Your religious rites or rituals cannot save you. Your preacher cannot save you, irrespective of who he is. But thank God, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, he'll save you. Glory to God, he can. Do you know why? You know what the Bible says? He came to seek, listen, and to save that which is lost. Do you know why this God has brought this mission about, friend? Because God wants to save you. He wants to deliver you from your sin, friend. He wants to break the old habits. He wants to break the old sins. He wants, my friend, to give you a new life. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to cleanse you from all iniquity in his precious blood. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And friend, if you're here in this meeting tonight and you've come into this mission and you're bound and you're fettered by your sin and you're crying out, "Oh, could somebody save me?" I want to tell you there's an answer. Yes, there is. Somebody. His name is Jesus. You know, when the angel said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Do you know why? "For he shall save his people from their sin." Whosoever shall call. Friend, let me tell you, you call tonight, and I guarantee you in God's name, I guarantee you, it's a call that's never, never, never in vain. But listen to these words. God says, "I've called, and ye refused." And friend, be honest. There's nights you have sat in gospel meetings, some of you sitting here, and even tonight, and let me tell you, God's speaking to your heart, and God has been challenging you, and God has been calling you. And God says, "Come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden by sin." And he says, "I'll give you rest." And he said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast you out." He's called you. And friend, deep in your heart, you know there's been a stirring in your soul. Maybe you don't understand what has been happening to you, but listen, when you've been sitting in the meetings or even tonight, God's speaking to your heart and he's troubling you, and you realize you've got to do something with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you've been fighting him. And you've been struggling and you've been battling against the call of the Spirit of God. Why? Because you love your sin. I love your sin. Isn't it sad, friend? A man knows his sin will damn him, but he still loves it. Isn't it sad a drunkard will know that his home's been wrecked by the booze, but he'll still drink it? The immoral man knows what is happening to his family, and his family's been destroyed, but he still lives in his immorality. The gambler knows that is betting away maybe even the family heritage. And they'll take the farm. But he still places a bet. Loves his son. But let me tell you, friend, when you embrace your sin tonight, you embrace the viper that'll destroy you. And God's showing you that. And God's revealing that. And God's calling you. And he says, come on, sinner, come. Come to me. Come to me. I'm the answer for your sin. I'll cleanse you. I'll pardon you. I'll make you clean. Listen, God calls in many ways. He calls through sermons, just like this. He calls through sickness, when the old body's shaken in the storms of life. And friends, let me tell you, you're lying on your back and you're looking at the ceiling in the hospital, and you really don't know what's happening within the frame. And God's saying, listen, what if I call? God speaks for him. He calls you. He calls you to get ready. He calls you to prepare. Maybe friends are standing at the grave of a loved one. As you hear the soil or the clay throwing itself upon the top of the coffin or the casket. And God's reminding you that some of these days, some of these moments maybe, you'll have to go too. You know you're not ready. God's calling you. Remember one day up at the hospital, a family gathered round a mother's bed. I remember it well. And as they gathered round the mother's bed, thank God a few days before that I'd led that mother to Jesus Christ and she could gloriously see it. The angel of death was coming to take her away. Leave the family, and she gathered them round the bed, and I was standing in the room, and one by one that mother went round her children and she told them that God had saved her and she was going home to heaven. And then she asked them this question, will you meet me? Will you meet me in heaven? Her burly, big, strong partner was standing at the side. The tears were flowing round down their faces, and the big burly partner came over, and he was the last one as he was standing there. He stooped down and he took the wee frail body of a woman dying of cancer, and he took him into his arms. He kissed her and they loved each other. I'm not calling by name, but then these are the words she said. Johnny, it wasn't his name. Meet me in heaven. Johnny, will you meet me in heaven? And friend, let me tell you, one after the other, that family said yes. That's over 20 years now. And they're still unsaved. And let me tell you, that's 20 years. And the mission's not far from their door. And they've never walked through it once. God called. See, what was God doing there? What was God doing at the side of a dying mother? What was God doing at the side of a dying partner? God was calling them to Jesus. He was calling them to heaven. God says, I have called, and ye have refused. Time's away tonight. But there's another call. Then shall they call upon me. cannot answer. You see, the devil's a liar, as I said. And you know, he puts several phrases in people's minds and hearts that as long as the lamp of light holds out to burn, the darkest sinner may return. Friend, that's not true. It's not true. It may sound right, but it's not true. God doesn't always speak to men and women. God doesn't always plead. The Spirit of God speaks, the Spirit of God calls, and God says, listen, there can come a time when man shall call, and God says, I won't answer. And you say, preacher, tell me, how can that be? I'll tell you, friend, because a man can sin away his day of grace, day of opportunity. A man can reject the Son of God and despise the offering of his mercy and his grace. A man can trample under his foot the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And God can say, that's it. You read the first chapter of the book of Romans, friend. You know what it says? And God gave them up. And in other verses, it says, and God gave them over. God says, right, you want your sin? There it is, take it. You want your sin? Take it. You can get it all, but take the wages with it. For the wages of your sin is death. Friend, the man's a fool that takes his sin and with it takes hell. Because you can't have sin without the wages. God says, then you'll call. But God says, I'll not answer. I remember Dr. Paisley telling me when he was a preacher in his early days, there was a woman came to the meetings. And her husband hated Dr. Paisley so much. And yet Dr. Paisley would always ask her about him. Oh, she said, Dr. Paisley, I couldn't let you speak to him. And then one day she came. And she came to Dr. Paisley's home and she said to him, Mr. Paisley, could you come? My husband's in the hospital. He went to the hospital bed, friend, and when he went to the hospital bed, the man was lying unconscious. And Ian said to her, he said, woman, you called me when your husband's unconscious. He said, Dr. Paisley, I couldn't bring you unless he was unconscious, but he wouldn't want to see you. He said, what's the use of bringing when the man's unconscious and I can't even speak to him? Let me tell you, friend, you need the Lord tonight. You need the Lord. Then shall ye call and I'll not answer. God to turn away his ear. It's lovely to know that the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Thank God he loves his children to cry out unto him. But there's a day coming when, dear sinner, God's ear will be turned away. God says no. And then read this as I close. God says, I laugh at your calamity. And God says, I'll mock when your fear comes. What's God saying, friend? Let me tell you, God's turning the table. Men and women laugh at the gospel. Men and women laugh at God, friend. At the offer of God's Son, the salvation that he offers. And God says, listen, there'll come a day I'll do the laughing. And men mock God and mock his salvation. But God says, listen, I'll mock or I'll laugh at your calamity. And God says, I'll mock when your fear comes. And let me tell you, friend, when I read that, I shake.
down the dark corridors of the damned, where the lost souls of men and women groan in agony for all eternity. And God says, I love. I'll mock. I beg you tonight, don't waste the opportunity God's given you, fella. The pleasures of your sin are only for a season. I don't care how long you get them, friends. Let me tell you, there'll come a moment they'll not taste the same. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they mocked me as I wailed. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Oh, Lord Jesus, it's found in thee. Will you come to him? He's calling you, friend. He says, come to me. Here's a question. Will you come?